Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 104 of Active Reload.
104.
104, the not big 104. Not 103, it's 104. Welcome to the show, everybody. We got some news, maybe not anything huge.
We got lots to say.
We do have things to say. Machine Games, they still want to make the next Wolfenstein game. They talked about it. I can't believe they actually mentioned it. I didn't think they would. I thought they would mainly be talking about Indiana Jones and being like, hey, we're full on to Indiana Jones. But guess what?
Thank God.
No, I mean, I say, why not both? You know?
Yeah, why not both?
You're right. It's been 1 year since Concord came out, as of September 6th, I think is what it was. Yeah, 4 days ago, September 6th. I can't
wait to talk about this.
We're going to talk a little Concord. Has Sony learned anything? We'll see. We'll talk about it. And then there's a little bit of a market recap, if you will, for video games. There was an ETF that came out that said, hey, we're going to look at the market visualized for video games. We'll talk about that for a little bit. And Super Mario Bros. It's going to be 40.
Yeah.
We'll touch on that for a little bit. They got a Nintendo Direct coming up.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll talk about that, too. Welcome to the show.
Boom.
All right. Machine Games. They make cool games.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Machine Video Games. Got one of the coolest creative heads of all time in terms of name. Studio head. Probably goes by Jörk.
It's probably Jörk.
Is it probably a Swedish? but it's spelled out Jörk Gustafsson. Mm-hmm. Shout out to him. He's got a great name. So they're doing a little bit of a docuseries on YouTube for Machine Games. It's called Noclip, I think is what it was called.
You know what that is referenced to?
That used to be a, it used to be a mod, right?
It's like a, if you typed in,
in
the
PC.
Console, like ID clip, if you, there's no clipping, you go through the levels of Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Did they start that? Was that where that all began, I guess?
I mean, that's the first time I heard of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Like if you hit no clipping.
Yeah.
Or enter that in, it made the game so much easier because you just skip.
Yeah. You skip areas. Levels. Yeah. Yeah, I knew that, but I didn't realize
you don't have to find the yellow key, the blue key, red key. You just go through the door.
Interesting. Shout out, Machine. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that. Well, I mean, I knew what no clipping was. Yeah, I didn't realize that was like, So that's what they're doing, a docuseries about Machine Games, how it kind of started and everything. And Jörk, I'm going to go with Jörk. I'll be honest with you because it's funnier. Jörk Gustafsson, he's the studio head and co-founder of Machine Games. And in an interview for this series that they're doing, he said, and I'm paraphrasing because it's kind of a longer quote. He said, quote, I hope we aren't done with Wolfenstein yet. We still have a story to tell. He also mentioned that they always envisioned the modern Wolfenstein story as a trilogy, even when they were mapping out the first entry. So New Order, they were like, hey, we're going to make this first game, but we see this as a trilogy.
So good.
It's a fantastic game.
I don't like the second one that much. I haven't replayed.
The first one is amazing.
Yeah.
The second one, you know, you have a lot of expectations going into it, and it didn't meet those expectations. Yeah. But in the grand scheme of things, it's still good. Yeah. I think.
And also, you have to include the...
We don't talk about Youngblood.
No, not Youngblood. Oh. I know we don't talk about that. No, like the standalone expansion that came after.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called.
Old Blood. Yeah. That one's awesome. Much more. It's not.
It's all in the castle.
Right. But it's more horror as well. It's a lot more. Cool. Yeah. It's spiritual horror type stuff, which is a lot of fun.
I really like Machine Games. So they, half of them came from Starbreeze Studios when Starbreeze
Your split. Boys.
And I used to love those guys. Yeah. All those games. Like, they made the Chronicles of Riddick game and then a few other ones, The Darkness.
Darkness.
They split, and Starbreeze is still around. They still make popular games.
Yeah.
But the other ones went to Machine Games, and then they made the Wolfenstein game. And it was great. They always had really good intros.
Yeah.
All their games have great intros.
It's still the case, even with the newer Wolfenstein games. And the indie game has a great intro as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Indie has way more Riddick in it than...
Oh, yeah.
Than Wolfenstein. Probably, expected.
I mean, that's how I was. I was expecting, I don't know if I was expecting like a Wolfenstein-style indie game, because that's pretty hardcore. I
kind of
Really?
Was.
No.
I just wanted more shooting, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's understandable. But, I mean, you're a Riddick guy, though.
I know.
So you should have really liked Indiana Jones, because it's definitely more Riddick.
I don't know. I like sneaking and stealth inside the prison breakout like area in the sci-fi setting of Riddick a lot.
But
I
not like, the...
Riddick seems like a better person to sneak around. That's what he does. He can see in the dark.
In the dark, yeah.
And you get that power in that game, by the way. It is canon.
In Indiana Jones?
No, to the Riddick world.
I was like, wait a minute, what?
No, you don't get the power.
I was like, Indy can see in the dark?
I like Indy shooting and jumping and swinging and driving cars. Like, yeah. You don't do much of that in the Indy game.
Not in the new one. But I would argue that it feels much more close to the first Indy movie than it does. Because there was a lot more of that in the later Indy titles.
Yeah.
Like Temple of Doom and Last Crusade. Last
Crusade.
And first one was a lot more, not down to earth, but, you know.
A lot more adventure pulpy, yeah.
Yeah, and like, because it was cheaper. Like, yeah. They had to keep it on the lower budget end. And then they got sequels, and maybe that's what we'll have
to do. You still shot that guy that was doing all the cool tricks.
That was, did you know that was totally improvised? Yeah. One of my favorite movies, because Harrison Ford, in that scene, he had to go take a dump.
Really?
That's the true story. He was like, I'm not going to go through all this. I got to take a dump. Shot the guy, and they kept it in the scene.
I love Indiana Jones. I like the game. It's made really well. It's made by, these guys are great.
Yeah.
And I just don't like, it's not that fun. It's kind of like how I think about Red Dead.
It's one of more, I think Machine Games, one of the more underrated first-person developers right now.
Yeah.
Just period.
They've been that way forever.
Yeah.
Since their existence.
Well, and it's because they don't put out a lot of games. It's Wolfenstein and then Indy in the most recent one. But other than that, they don't do a lot of other stuff, which is great. I think we need more of that, to be honest with you.
So he did mention a trilogy. They want to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I don't remember the ending of the second one. Spoilers, they go outer space and blow up the moon.
That's the first one.
That's the end of the first one.
That's the first one. They go to the moon. And then the second one, they go to Venus.
Venus, there we go.
And that's where the big baddie is. I can't say his name. Right. And he's throwing up and everything. It's a hilarious scene, actually. Yeah. You don't kill him in the game. He gets away. There is a big baddie in the second one, the lady that lives in the first one.
Yeah.
She's the big baddie. You do kill her. But the ending is them kind of like, they go on like a, what is essentially supposed to be like a late night TV program for the Reich.
That's the issue I have with part two. It starts to go into other territories, especially the 70s. And it gets into different, they try to make a little slice of pie for each culture they're trying to like mock or promote.
Yeah.
And it started to become, I don't know, like not pandering, but like, it's just annoying. Like give me a shooter. And I just wanted to, the characters were dumb. They were annoying. No. It was all like,
so good.
It was too, not about Wolfenstein. It was about these weird characters and I didn't like them.
I liked basically, well, I don't want to say all the new characters they introduced, but I think a lot of them were fun. Which is the best part.
Yeah.
And I think the intros for some of them were really cool. There was a guy that was like super into like aliens and stuff like that. He was almost a GTA character, which is where I understand like you can have a problem with that. Because it does get a little goofy.
It got way too goofy.
But the lady that is in, I can't think of her name, but she's played by a voice actress that's in everything.
I know.
And she's like smoking a cigarette and she's like breastfeeding at the same time. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this lady's badass. Sorry.
Yeah. It was really cool to smoke.
Well, no, but it's like cool. What I mean. Like,
I know
the way they introduced her is cool. Very cool.
It was just they kept trying to make everything too cool.
Yeah, I think it worked for me.
Okay,
I liked it a lot. And I also like, I never imagined a world in which I was like, whoa, BJ Blazkowicz having a happy ending as like a father and a very good husband is not something I ever expected.
Well, no one expected there to be a story at all. I thought the first Wolfenstein was a good story too.
Mm-hmm.
Now the biggest problem I had with that was just the difficulty spikes everywhere.
Yeah, that's
fair. That was just,
well, and the pseudo open world that they tried to do where you're going back to locations.
Do you remember when games are doing that?
I hated it.
Gears of War 5 did that too.
Yes, I hate doing that. For the most part, there's some if it's like there are like RoboQuest, we talked about that, but that's a whole different game style. It makes sense that you have to do that, obviously.
Yep.
For these, there it just feels like they were trying to make extra work, but not extra places to do work.
This is what they were doing. There's a room of people inside a gaming conference.
Yeah. A conference.
Whatever. Not a gaming conference. The top floor.
Right.
Executive conference.
Conference, yeah.
Right? And you had the developers and then executives. And then the executives, you know what's hot right now? We need open world segments.
Yeah.
And so they had to do this open world stuff.
I mean, personally, what's wrong with linear, you know?
There's nothing wrong with linear. I just played Metal Eden,
right?
Hyper linear game. Thought it was great.
There's plenty of amazing. There was another, I mean, Wolfenstein, so
Wolfenstein is a little bit linear. It's just it gives you it gives you a playground to mess around.
But the thing is, like
Crysis.
In the second one, the linear levels are still there, but they finish each linear level in a way that makes it feel like you should not come back here. You nuke an area in that video game, and then guess what? You come back, still there.
And there's a hub world, like the hub area.
Yes,
it was too.
I
like that in the first one.
Yeah.
Because you can explore, then you can actually go into the old Wolfenstein game.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great little Easter egg that they have in that game.
Anyways.
But yeah, I think it's time, dude. I miss it. Youngblood was a disaster. Okay, I won't say that. That's extreme. A disaster.
That's what you get when you split a great team into an A and a B team. And the B team just never
I think it was falls through. Arcane Leon that also helped make it. It didn't make sense because everybody was wanting a third game. And to have this as like your 2.5 was very odd. And then nothing after that since then anyway, for 5 years.
Whatever.
So it's I'm excited. I hope
I'm excited too.
The thing that makes me a little nervous is Yerk, the studio head, he said, I hope we aren't done with Wolfenstein yet, which tells me
it's not in his hands.
It's not in his hands. That makes me nervous because it's like, why hasn't there been one? You know what I mean? If it's you're the studio head, so make it happen.
Oh,
you know, but whatever. Publishers, you know, there's publishers, there's executives they got to worry about, whatever. Wolfenstein. We hope it comes back.
Yeah.
We want it. Please.
I want it.
We need a linear first-person shooter
story. It doesn't need to be super linear. It's just...
Well, you know what? I mean...
Stop shoehorning open-world stuff in
there. You know who did it really well? Where you're traversing back and forth all the time?
Concord.
Claire Obscure. No. Sure. Not Concord.
I know.
Claire Obscure. It was great. Because it opened different areas, and the other areas were small enough where, you weren't missing a lot.
I love how that's your first JRPG style game.
Well, no, but I mean,
it's a very JRPG thing to do.
It's JRPG. It's also heavily anime based.
I know.
And I'm not an anime guy.
You backtrack, and then you, like, there's a overworld, and all of a sudden there's an airship of some sort. In this case, it's Esquie.
Esquie,
you can fly and then dive.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, I can access all this stuff.
I know. And it's open world.
I did that in Final Fantasy VI.
But the thing is, like, I usually don't like that. Like, God of War tried to do that. Hated it. Ragnarok.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was awful.
Didn't like that part.
It was the most annoying part of the game.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's been 1 year.
1 year?
One year, ladies and gentlemen. Concord came out on September 6th, 2024.
Okay. Can I start this off?
It was Grant's game of the year.
No, not at all. I played the beta. Do you remember when the beta came out? It was a public beta. It was right before I went on vacation or right when I came back from vacation.
Yeah.
And I was really excited because I wanted to talk about a game that I thought was going to be talked about and not the way I expected. But it was a beta that everybody hated.
Yeah.
Everybody hated
it. It was not well received.
If they didn't do that beta, they might have sold more.
Well, here's the thing. I also think that it was also hated because it was a lot of, like, they were going up against the Marvel rivals.
Yeah. Was it?
Marvel Bibles.
Okay.
I believe so. I think that came out right around the same time. And everybody at that point, I mean, Marvel Rivals was catching everybody by storm, and then it was just this game that's also the same thing, but not as good. I think that's right.
Oh, man, I don't think it's that similar, other than they are. It's sort of a hero shooter, but...
Disregard everything I just said.
Yeah,
I've been up since 5:30. Whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't care. All right,
end of the year. It was compared to Overwatch.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, okay, yes.
And Overwatch was getting destroyed.
Yeah.
That year.
And then everybody was like, oh, great, another hero shooter. 5v5 hero shooter.
It really wasn't that bad in terms of gameplay. It was just the characters were so bad and not funny. And there was a big emphasis on telling this story.
Yeah.
It was going to be pieced together throughout seasons of storytelling.
Yeah.
And then you just play the regular game. Either way, people were kind of confused, and nobody was going to be interested in what any of these characters had to say.
Right, and that's unfortunately, like, when it comes to these hero shooters, that's what they had been trying to, like, Overwatch had an overarching story. I remember the first, like, cinematic trailer for Overwatch, it was like a, you know, Winston, like, saving a kid and something like that, and it's like, nobody knows what this is. Like, I don't care about this, you know? It's whatever. But Blizzard does a lot of that too. And just in general, Blizzard does that stuff. They do that with WoW all the time.
The graphics were so good in this game in terms of animation and stuff like that.
I think everything looks good. Like there's a lot of color to this trailer, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing a lot of like drawn out blue hues in like other games that doesn't look good. Marvel Rivals is a lot of the same stuff too, where everything looks really pretty. But the other thing is, I don't think any of these characters look interesting.
No, none of them.
Like,
none of them
at all.
They look like the budget versions of popular media.
Right. I think they look like budget versions of like Guardians of the Galaxy people. That's what when I first saw this trailer, that's what I remember thinking of. I was like, this just looks like Guardians of the Galaxy. But like, if Garvel made them.
And it's also not Marvel. I mean, it's also the map designs were not that great.
Yeah.
It was very boxy.
And I think, and at this point, I mean, a lot of this trailer just does look like, hey, this is another hero shooter.
And also, great. Here's the funny thing. It costs so much money to do this.
Yeah.
I wonder if they just were able to keep the budget down by like 15% of whatever they use.
Yeah.
It would have been able to sustain itself. I think it was the planned Netflix series. It was all this other stuff behind what we actually got. But and if it was all focused into just gameplay and not the dumb, really dorky, non-cool characters.
The question that I put down here was, has Sony learned anything? And when you say that, they have a planned Netflix series that they were doing with Concord.
Yeah, yeah.
It tells me they haven't learned anything because they're still trying to do that with everything that they're producing.
No, I don't think they've learned anything. I also think that maybe they have in terms of, we don't know what Bungie was when it, what their That's role true. Was. Apparently there was a role in all of this.
Yeah.
And now they don't have a role.
Right. And now Bungie's struggling to put out their own IP that they've been trying to put together for a long time. So it does feel like it was just a snowball effect of a bunch of different things coming together that weren't going to work regardless.
It was a giant shift.
Yeah.
No one ever saw that happen when you take a game off. What was it? A week?
It was 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 week time. 2 week time.
And everybody got refunded.
Yeah.
And now you see that not all the time.
It's becoming more common.
Spectre Divide. And I never got my refund. And that game was actually great.
Well, wait a minute. That one was on longer though. That one was a couple months.
It was an early access on PC. Yeah. And then when it came to console, it was announced two weeks into it that it was going to be cut off.
They allowed you
to finish off the season, which lasted a month.
And I think part of that is probably because Sony, like Concord, was a lot easier to send the refunds out because it was just Sony's publishing.
No one bought it.
Well, not to mention, and they were shuttering the studio. So, I mean,
$40.
Yeah.
A free to play game that was $40, basically.
Yeah. Concord. RIP.
A really bad battle pass, too.
Yeah. Well, and it felt like it was year. I think there was a quote that somebody had said. I can't remember. I think it was somebody from the Bungie team, maybe, or formerly of the Bungie team, or somebody that worked at Sony, that felt like it was. They said that it had been like 10 years in the making, and it felt like that. No, it felt like it had been 10 years behind.
Well, Sony purchased them later into their development.
Yeah,
and it was a lot of money.
Yeah,
and then they fired everybody.
Yeah,
man, those guys should have stayed independent.
That's the thing is, it did feel like a game that was 10 years old when it came out.
Definitely.
Because it's a hero shooter. The battle pass system wasn't great. The characters that they were like hoping people would latch onto were not that interesting.
I don't know. It's like the focus was on this weird storytelling as opposed to like the actual map design and gameplay design.
Well, and also when you have something like Overwatch, where you have a huge company making it like Blizzard, Blizzard has diehards. Like there are going to be people that play Blizzard games regardless of what it is.
It's true.
And this company, I can't remember, was it Firewatch or something like that?
Something like that.
Firehawk or something. They don't have any of that like good graces that Blizzard has. So
Blizzard has good graces?
Well, Blizzard has diehards. They definitely have that. Like people just assume that Blizzard's going to make a good game because it's Blizzard. Same thing with Bungie. It's the same thing with BioWare. Like it's the name sells everything.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I got you. So if you don't have any of that good credit with fans or any fans for that matter, it's hard to sell them on something they've seen before done by another company that they already have the good graces with, like a BioShock or a Blizzard, you know? So I think that's also part of it, or was part of it. Now they're dead. I'd be curious to see where they are now. Like the people that the studio head for Firehawk, whatever it was called, like the creative design lead and everything? Like, what are they doing now?
No,
I'd be curious.
Some marketing people and some art design people have moved.
They shifted
on.
Over. Oh, and yeah.
They're on other projects that people definitely. Are playing. That they're also making games fail. By the way, some of the people attached to this game have attached themselves to other games that have constantly failed. There is a thing in this industry for some reason. It's probably a lot of industries, but I guess gamers point it out a little more than everybody else. But people are failing up.
Firewalk.
Dang. People are failing up in this industry, which is hilarious. Yeah. A lot of people put out games that cost publishers billions of dollars, and then all of a sudden they get a promotion somewhere.
Well, but the other thing is too that that's unfortunately a very common thing in that, not just the gaming industry, but like in a lot of bigger business industry too. There's a lot of people, you know people, and you get
it's
you
just
know,
funny when
moved up.
You're in the art world. And your artistic design and choices cause your company to lose $1 billion. And all of a sudden, someone else that is looking to hire an art director, they're like, hey, he made Concord. Or he made the look of Concord. Let's hire this guy.
Well,
and they're like, why would you ever hire that guy? He just costed Sony $1 billion. You want to? And then he would fail again, or she.
Yeah.
And they would constantly keep getting hired.
I'm not joking. Bernie Madoff would get out of prison right now, and he would be hired tomorrow.
Well, he's effective at what he does.
Right. But that's my point. Is it's just like, it doesn't matter.
These people weren't effective at all.
Well, he was effective but Bernie Madoff was effective at his job because he was lying to everybody.
Well, I get it, but it's a different thing when you're, like, if I make a drawing and it's bad, and I have to sell it to somebody, and someone was like, I guess I'll buy it, and I'm like, because I already paid for it.
Yeah.
And then that person wouldn't recommend me to someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I understand you're saying it's a lot more it's easier to notice in games, in the games market.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's also because everything that's being developed is very obviously noticed by its fans. So, like, stuff that happens in the business industry is a lot harder to call up the chain.
There's not fans.
Like, yeah, right? Like a car company, it's not like you can trace back the 2024 to 2017, that sort of thing.
Yeah. When it comes to
art and releasing Chevy. Games. Yeah, exactly. Like it's different.
That was from 2008 to 2016.
Right.
Your water pump's going to fail.
Right. Exactly. It's just different. But and who do you point to for that? You know, it's a lot different for games. It's easier to just be able to point that out. And there's more release for games, you know? So,
well, that was a fun time.
Concord. Rest in peace, Concord.
Man, what a blip.
And the Firewalk people. Hopefully they're doing all right. We'll see.
Man, that game sucked.
No, you liked it, sir.
In terms of just the game coming out, that sucked for everybody around it.
Yeah.
I bought it because I really want a Sony shooter.
I'd be very curious to hear your tone if you hadn't been refunded. If they were like, hey, we're just taking this off the market. Yeah. You'd just be... These guys
I would have forgot about worse the 40. I've wasted $40 on worse things.
I bet you have.
I mean, I didn't get my money from Spectre Divide. They said they were going to give it to me.
That's true.
I didn't get it. That's a free-to-play game, but I bought the Battle Pass.
Not to mention...
Whatever.
Remember, they did that for Cyberpunk, too. And that game was just, hey, we're taking it off. We'll give you refunds if you want. We're going to eventually put it back on.
Yeah, but at least...
Cyberpunk. We'll refund you if you want.
Cyberpunk, people were playing on PlayStation. They were like, this is a good game. It's just broken.
People
were
PlayStation
like,
4
on this game. They were like, this game is not broken whatsoever,
but nobody's playing.
All right.
That's Concord. Rest in peace to Concord. We'll do another 2-year anniversary.
That'd be funny.
That should just be our running joke for Active Reload. We'll be 5 years down the line, but 5-year anniversary, nobody will remember what Concord was.
Five-year
anniversary.
It's,
you think so?
Cemented itself into the
we're gonna
video
have,
game.
I think we're gonna have bigger things that'll happen that we'll have to talk about until Concord from here on out. By the way, a quick aside, there was a really funny quote that I didn't want to put this in here because I thought it was too small. But the ghost of Yote, I think it was a creative director. He was being asked, like, there was like 125 rapid questions thing that he did for somebody, I think with Video Game Chronicle. And it made me, I don't know what I was thinking. I think GTA was in my head or something, but they got asked the question, when GTA 6 got moved and delayed, was there a big party at the studios
for
Ghost of Yote? And he was
definitely.
Yeah, we had a huge party. There was like we all had huge hangovers the next day because we all got super drunk and excited.
Because they were about to lose everything they ever worked on.
Because of the GTA. And I thought that was a really funny
quote. They would have had to delay it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Or they release it and it doesn't sell.
Yeah.
which would have sucked. God, that would have been awful. So right, thank you to GTA. All right. What are we talking about next? Oh.
And by the way, I didn't say I like it's an average game. It's not.
You said you enjoyed it.
I enjoy bad games all the time. But yeah, I enjoy it. It's a 6.5 out of 10, 7 out of 10, in my opinion. It's not that bad, but it's not great. It's not worth $200 billion, that's for sure.
You know what is worth $200 billion?
Million or whatever.
Oh, and yeah. Grant's going to put this on the screen, by the way, because it's hard to see. We apologize. It's white, you know. Hey, I got an idea. Web pages. Let's just move over to dark.
Yeah.
Just from here. Why do you do this? Is it
on the camera right now? Like, yeah.
Does it look awful?
Yeah, just take it down. And I'll put it back up. Let me look at it, though.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to unplug the HDMI. Will that screw everything up? Yeah, it will. Why?
Because it'll turn this off.
But it's better than having a glare. Minimize it. But I have to look at it.
Oh, it's connected.
Right.
Okay.
Unplugged. Hey, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So this... It's essentially a study done by Roundhill Investments. They put together an ETF that is essentially following the games industry. They did a study on the games industry from 2017 to 2026, projected 2026. And they were
ETF?
An ETF is a...
Estimated...
It's something trading fund. I can't remember what the E stands for. But it's essentially they grouped together a bunch of... stocks, bonds, and stuff like that. And you can trade using, you know, that fund, put your money into that fund, and it's sub put into a bunch of these other companies.
Okay.
But they did a study, and 2017 to 2026, projected again 2026, and they were looking at the overall revenue for the gaming industry as a whole. We have made the joke about the, Diablo guy saying, hey, you guys all have phones, don't you?
Yeah.
That's the running joke. And we make fun of him for that. But guess what? He was right. We do all have phones. And guess what? We all play video games on our phones. Because according to this graph, from 2017 to essentially 2026 projected, there's been a 258% growth in just the social/casual games market, which social gaming... playing interactive video games through social media or mobile apps, and casual gaming means playing easy-to-learn games for short and simple sessions. Essentially, Sudoku, crossword puzzles on your phone, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
258% growth. That's from $120.4 billion in 2017 to $321 billion total. For casual games, it's $67.7 billion to $242 billion.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane. Just to put it in perspective, PC games... they had about a 65% growth, $25 billion to $42 billion, and console games, $23 billion to $31.5 billion.
Not that's a big...
32% growth.
Another thing that you should look at is, I don't know if you knew this. I knew that there was mobile was out.
Massive.
Just massive.
Yeah.
Outperforms everybody because I don't know why, but...
ease of access, I guess. Everybody has a phone. People
like to gamble.
Everybody has a phone.
Yeah. But... yeah, the PC market is bigger than console market.
Oh, yeah. I think which that surprised me.
I know, because we've had this discussion.
I was totally wrong about it.
Yeah, PC is bigger.
Bigger. I didn't realize
Steam
that.
Steam is massive, dude.
Yeah.
Steam and Steam is loved by everybody.
Mm. And according to this study, this is also shocking to me, but it also kind of shows why a lot of gaming companies are trying to figure out a way to do this. Around 85% of all gaming revenue comes from free-to-play games.
I know.
That's insane. So anybody that's selling games... also
including those mobile games.
But, I mean, free-to-play is free-to-play. Yes, correct. But, I mean, that's still... there's plenty of mobile games on PC, on console...
yeah,
that are selling stuff on the back end.
How many free-to-play... games are on console, like successful ones, 7-8.
Oh, but they make up.
I know
they don't make up the market.
They don't make up that much in the console market. 85% in the console.
No. But in general, like,
but if you take all of, the mobile gaming, which is all free to play, I'm the only one that pays for a $2 app.
I've never bought a game on my phone.
So most people don't pay for anything on their phone, and that is 85-90% of the market.
Right.
So when they are free to play, you're adding all that stuff in. It's a little different. And if you just kind of take out the mobile version or the mobile market completely.
Right.
Because they are completely separate. They feel separate. Definitely. I know they're blending a little more because we're going to talk about Arena Breakout, which was a successful mm-hmm. mobile game in China. If you take all that out, the growth for non free to play games and console and PC games is still pretty good. And yeah. there's plenty to go around. I think I did the math. It was like 40 something or 45 or 65 billion is left over in the industry mm-hmm. to play around with. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's bigger than it was in 2017.
Oh yeah. Well, it's only gotten bigger as years have gone by. It's bigger. This chart shows that it's bigger than the music industry and the yeah. movie industry combined.
Oh yeah.
In terms of money brought in. But I just think it's interesting because it is things like because we don't think about this anymore, but things like Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive.
PUBG, man. PUBG is bigger Fortnite. Game than anything that we play.
Yeah.
And I play PUBG yeah. on console and PC, but most people play it on mobile.
Yeah, which is insane to me.
It's a completely different game.
Yeah, it's 100%. Totally. Same thing. Well, and that's also different. Why, like, I think Call of Duty, they were like, hey, we got to do mobile.
This is why all these games look the way they are.
Yeah.
And this is why Skate has it's a clothing game.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks
great. Same with Tony Hawk. I mean, Pro Skater.
It looks great. I can't wait to play Skate. But the emphasis is on the store.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And same thing, like you said, Fortnite, obviously, they took their Battle Royale, put it in a free-to-play mode, just as like a, hey, let's try this out.
Let's try this to save our game.
And it literally is making them more money than they've ever imagined. But the same thing goes for PUBG, like you said. Another one they mentioned on here, which I thought was funny, Dungeon Fighter Online.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that game, but apparently it ranks among one of the highest grossing video games ever because of what it's free to play and mm-hmm. what they sell on the back end. And I'm sure there's like plenty of the, what's the famous mobile game that always gets ads on YouTube that everybody makes fun of?
Raid Shadow Legends?
Yes, Raid Shadow Legends. Yeah. By the way, we're sponsored, but no, I'm just kidding. No.
Shout out to Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah, became I'm sure meme. That's really on good. Here too. Yeah.
So it's a good game, honestly.
What? Have you spent money on Raid Shadow Legends?
No, never.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. So, I thought that was very interesting. It's a massive, I mean, we knew this is a massive market. I just didn't realize how much just the mobile game in general had grown.
Yeah, it's
insanely big market.
Really, really big.
Exchange Traded Fund, ETF. Okay. That's what that stands for. I couldn't think of the word for it. It's similar to a mutual fund. Hey, the industry's going, we say it's not going well sometimes on this podcast, but
no, it's doing fine.
It's going pretty good.
We're coming down from a bump from everybody staying at home, not doing anything, and just True. Buying games and getting free government money.
They talk about that too in that graph as well. That the COVID-19 or the COVID pandemic increased a big bump into what they were doing.
You're doing that upside down.
That was that. I thought that was interesting just because I like finance. That's one thing I'd wish to go into, to be honest with you. But, you know, 28, really? I'm dying. Yeah.
Maybe fine.
Anyways, let's move on.
Super Mario Brothers.
You're going to have to take the lead 40. On this because I didn't even realize that happened.
Turn 40. 1985.
All right. That's that.
Super Thanks. On the Famicom, regular Nintendo. I remember this game so well. Mm-hmm. My parents won a bowling tournament. And got a Nintendo. It brought home. And I was about 4 or 5 when I...
That's a crazy price for a bowling tournament, by the way. That's like expensive.
I don't know.
Because the original Nintendo was pretty expensive.
Yeah, but they didn't buy it in 85, so they probably bought it in 88.
Well, they didn't buy it. They won it.
They won it, yeah.
You said bowling tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they won the money. I think they won money and then they bought it for us.
Okay.
I can't remember. But... I love this game. This game changed my life, changed the trajectory of my life completely. This is the first Nintendo game I ever played, that and an Excitebike.
This is the NES one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I played this one too, surprisingly.
And it's really hard. One of my greatest achievements as a human being. Mm-hmm. I beat this game when I was 5 years old before going to kindergarten. I remember my mom on the phone. This is the 80s. And my mom had the big corded phone mm-hmm. and she's twirling it around. And she stops what she's saying and she goes, Grant, you're going to beat this game. You haven't died yet. I've watched it. You haven't died yet. And I was like, I know, Mom. I know. And I did it. And that's when I realized you can actually jump over Bowser at the end. Bowser.
He got it.
Is at the end. He throws these little axes. You don't need to stop and wait to go underneath his feet. I was just running as fast as I can because I really wanted to do it. And you just jump over him. You don't slow down. Jump over him and you get it.
That was one of your greatest achievements as a human being.
Never died.
He's had a child, by the way.
I could probably beat Elden Ring twice in a row before I could ever beat that game without dying again.
Okay.
It's really hard.
I'll take your word for it. I don't remember. I was a little wee lad when I was playing this game, and it was already, I think 12, 13 years old.
Wee lad, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't remember a lot of it, to be honest with you.
You mean the sound? The gaming industry was dead. The gaming industry had crashed before this. And so Nintendo just made Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And it just
now here invented we are.
The side-scrolling platformer with a fun soundtrack.
Yeah, everybody knows the soundtrack to Super Mario Bros. Yeah, it's crazy. It's 40 years old now. That's weird to think about.
Yep.
We're going to get to a point where we're like, it's going to be 2065. And it's going to be like, yeah, this game's 80 years old now, and nobody's going to know what Super Mario Bros. Is. Is that weird to think about?
They'll know forever.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
They don't know it as a
30 years
a movie
from now?
And a,
exactly.
A bunch of
I'm talking
things.
Super Mario Bros., though. The 1985
game. Well, a lot of people don't realize that's not even the first Mario Bros.
Exactly. Game. No, the Donkey Kong game where he was a little man.
Well, that's Jumpman. Yeah, that's. But then you have Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Mario Bros., not Super Mario Bros. Mario Bros. Was an arcade game where it's just... Mm-hmm. You're Mario and Luigi and you're in the little sewer and you bounce each other up.
I get confused with the Mario games just in general. Yeah. Like, I don't know
what's
what.
Do you think is going to happen? I think because Nintendo's going to do a Direct.
They got a Direct on Friday.
Are we going to get a sale on Mario games?
Yeah, probably. Maybe. So that's funny that you bring it up.
Probably.
When it was the 35th anniversary, they gave out they sold a collection that you can't get anymore, which is the Super Mario 3D Legends or Collection Ultimate or something like that, which got you Galaxy, Mario 64, and Sunshine in one collection with HD upgraded graphics for Switch, and they took it off the market. They sold 8 million copies and they took it off.
Can they even play it? Can you play it
only
anymore?
Only Nintendo can do that.
Can you play it anymore on like the Switch 2?
Probably if you have it.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's weird to me because it's like...
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because remember they had specific ports that came over, but I don't know if that was a remaster thing or what.
There's room for another collection. You could have not Mario Sunshine, but you can have Galaxy 2 and you can have like the Super 3D Mario Land that came to the 3DS. And then maybe another one that I could,
I can see. Honestly, for me, I can see them announcing a new game because it's been a while for Mario.
It's been 8 years,
which is crazy.
Yeah. The longest it's ever been between Mario games, mainland Mario games.
Mainstream Mario games. Main titles.
But they just had Donkey Kong. I don't know if they're...
Well, they could do...
platformer?
They could do a spring release for a Mario game. They got nothing coming out in spring, I don't think, right?
It's like we're trying to like...
When Zelda come out? Because have they announced another Zelda game?
Metroid needs to come out first.
That's true, yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Nintendo, we're not in your Nintendo sphere, but we know it's big. It hits everybody. It's like... it's not as big as GTA, but when Super Mario is coming out, people pay attention.
All right, games are releasing this week.
It's time for the next installment of Borderlands 4. And these guys, this is Big Randy right here. Big Randy Pitchford.
Talk about the head of a company that's always involved in everything that shouldn't be.
Talk about the head of a company that looks like the head of a video game company.
I like that he's involved with everything.
Yeah, honestly, to be fair to Randy Pitchford, I don't know if I like him or whatever. Never met him.
I've never met him.
He clearly loves this game. Like, he loves Borderlands. I think he really, really cares about this franchise, which I appreciate. I respect that. I think he really cares about it.
If he really cares about it, he wouldn't have released Borderlands 3 way it was.
No. I think he thought it was good. I really do genuinely think when he came out, he thought it was a great game.
It didn't work that well off the rip.
And you know what he probably said? Nothing does. Except for Nintendo games. So, a lot of this, I think a lot of the stories around Gears 4 or Borderlands 4.
He was part of Gearbox.
Maybe that's, yeah, that's what I was doing. Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. Is part of Gearbox.
Is part of Gearbox.
It seems a lot more positive than the stuff that was coming around Borderlands 3's release. I think a lot of the more stuff that we were hearing when Borderlands 3 was coming out, it was like, it still feels like Borderlands, but at this point it feels dated, if that makes sense. Yeah. A lot of the writing and everything and the combat still like so they haven't grown at all. And this one, it sounds like they've really kind of learned from that. They've talked about, other people that have played this game have talked about they're essentially trying to retcon 3.
I thought 3's story and characters were just as bad and cringy as Concord's.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I could totally. But again, they have roots with people.
Yeah,
gotcha. With Borderlands. So people were going to play this regardless. And again, I played all the way through 3. I don't ever want to do it again because I really don't enjoy playing that video game.
The mechanics were better than 2, I guess. Like the sliding, jumping,
yeah.
The movement was good.
But that's the thing, is nothing else apart from that. And there's nothing that's to it. Come back to. Like 2, you can go back and play all the time because 1, it's fun, but it also, there's such a good, rich story around that game with great characters. And they're not even the characters that you're playing as. It's just everybody around your characters that are incredible. And I'm hoping that that's something they kind of come back to. Interesting missions, which I think they're showing a decent amount of as well. So I'm excited. I'm very excited to play this game. I'm going to play with my brother. We co-op this game all the time, or the Borderlands games. We've played all of them co-op together.
I'm excited for this game too.
Yeah. I did not think I was going to be this excited for this.
Would you be excited for this game if you had no one to play with?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would not as excited.
That's right where I'm
right. Yeah. Like not at, cause I've only played these games co-op. I've never played them solo. So
yeah, I played 2 with a lot of friends.
Yeah. They're a blast. Oh, one I never played was the pre-sequel. I never played that game.
It was all right.
Never played it.
There's some pretty cool, like, zero gravity areas.
You're on the moon of Pandora, I think, or something like that, if I remember right.
You know why it's called pre-sequel? I thought it was kind of dumb. Like, why don't you just call it prequel? That's what it's called. Mm. But it's actually, it came out before the, this takes place before the sequel.
But it came out after 2.
No, after Borderlands 1, but before Borderlands 2. And the game came out after Borderlands 2.
I thought it came out after 2.
It did.
Oh, that's but what I'm saying.
The story takes place before 2.
Right.
Which is the pre-sequel. So you can't call it a prequel because it doesn't. Because it
came out after.
Because it doesn't take place before 1.
Yeah. I love that they're still doing so Claptrap.
Joke's on me.
That was a joke, by the way. I think we can get rid of Claptrap. Yeah, I think we're
please
done.
Please just get rid of him.
We don't need him anymore.
You know what they need? You know who they need?
They need Jack Black.
Yeah.
Playing Cat Claptrap. Or Kevin Hart is rolling.
Blanchett. Put Kate Blanchett in this game.
That was such a disaster. Man, they had a real rough 3-year run there Gearbox.
All right. Arena Breakout. Can we talk about this before time's up?
Arena Breakout.
Okay. I don't know if you remember this, but I mentioned Arena Breakout was coming to mobile. This was like 1.5 years ago on this show.
Let's go. So excited. And you guys all have phones, don't you?
I was like, it's going to be really good because Tarkov is popular and it's basically Tarkov on mobile. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It really, really was popular. Now it's been out on its own launcher on PC for a while now, 6 months probably. Mm-hmm. And now it has a Steam release, like a universal release. And they're taking away all the pay to win stuff because it's a free to play game.
Right.
So people were paying for packages that basically a skip in progression to get you better weapons and stuff. They're getting rid of all of that.
That's what they did that for. They did that for Tarkov too, right? When they were doing a release for it.
Not really, but it's not pay to win. Like Deuce said on our comments, it's not quite pay to win.
Oh man, Deuce, I'm sorry.
It is a bit of
he's calling you out.
It is a bit. No, it's not. I'm agreeing with him.
Oh, I thought he said it was pay to win. Sorry. Never mind, Deuce.
I did a little bit. It depends on what you consider winning is. If winning is extracting with more loot, then yeah, it is a bit pay to win because you could pay for more space.
I thought that was the whole point of the game.
But when it comes to PvP, no.
Okay.
When Arena came out, PvP, people paid for better helmets and better gear and stuff like that. Better weapons, better bullets.
Do we think this is going to be better than Arc Raiders?
No. Are you kidding me?
I don't know anything about this game.
It's actually really, really good.
Right.
It's like Delta Force is to Battlefield 2142 or 2042.
2042. You do that every time. I know. It's so funny.
Whatever. Stupid names. That's where on this show, we care about names a lot.
We do.
It really makes a difference.
You know what's got a great name? Helldivers.
Yeah. Guess what? It doesn't have a great name. Arena Breakout Infinite.
Yeah. Put that in a name generator. That's what they said. They said, get this in a name generator.
And I'm excited to play it on Steam, free to play.
Good for them. I'm. It's weird the amount of mobile games that we're getting.
Yeah.
Like PUBG did it backwards. I know. They should have released it on mobile first and then said, hey, we're coming to PC and console. Yeah. Guess what? I just don't understand how like that even works. Because I think of a mobile game, I'm thinking super slim down, you know what's not really, a lot.
You know what's really funny? It doesn't really work on console. So
that doesn't surprise me.
It does and it doesn't. It works in like the Call of Duty sense. So right. Call of Duty basically brought Call of Duty Mobile to the new Black Ops and everybody ate it up and sold a lot. But it's not going to work again. People are sick of it. But people on mobile expect it and they're fine with wearing like unicorn helmets and stuff. But
I can I be honest with you? I think a lot of that part of it is very overblown.
What do you mean overblown? It's true though.
No, I mean like the anger for that sort of stuff.
Oh, on it's console? Just like,
yeah.
I think people get like, sick
if you're
of it.
If you're upset with it, don't buy it.
But it's just, it's way more casual on your phone, so it doesn't bother you.
Right.
When you're playing it every day after work or after school, you're playing with your boys, and all of a sudden you're like, all your boys are wearing goofy Terminator. And it's just eventually, it's going to wear off on you. You're like, what kind of game are we playing? What is this game?
I get to wear my Homelander outfit when I'm playing Warzone.
Like, it's not quite.
I love the boys.
Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Call of Duty is named after a medal that you can receive.
Yeah, but Call of Duty's never been. Like, I get it, but it's also never been that.
You're eventually going to go so far in one direction. You have to bring it back. And that's what they're
going
to do.
Well, they did that already. They wrapped around, remember? Because they were like, we're going to do Infinite Warfare. Oh, wait, we're actually going back to boots on the ground, World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
So it eventually wraps all the way around.
You're right. But there was tons of stupid costumes in that game, too.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right.
Skate. We talked about this last.
I know, we talked about real, but...
We talked about this last week.
We've seen a lot
of... The Phantom episode.
We've seen a lot of gameplay now.
It looks great.
It does look great.
I can't wait to play this game.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Odin, my son, is really excited for it too. I love that you can climb and get places. I like the physics. I think the realistic skateboarding that you can do if you want looks good. You know, I don't like that the board rotates in its own little axis underneath your feet that it's somehow attached to you. I wish that was separate from your body and the board, but... That's going to be that way, I guess, forever. The only issue I have with it, and you can see it everywhere on this trailer.
This is pre-alpha, by the way, so this looks a little different.
We just didn't want to show the same stuff, but it looks similar. Everything in this game is sterile as heck, except for your outfits.
Well, look at the background here. Watch this. Watch in the back. Watch the tree transformation here. Look at the trees.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, it's very clearly pre-alpha.
But... Yeah, nothing looks lived in this game.
No.
Everything, there's a bunch of skaters skating around, but nothing looks like it's been skated on before. There is no wax on ledges. There are no chips. There are no big cutouts. Everything is, the whole city is designed for a big skate park as opposed to finding lines in a city.
Right.
And like finding the areas in a city that are fun to skate.
That work best as a...
I think they just missed that, and that's not. They're not going to come back from that. Hopefully, they can add like wear and tear to the ground and everything, because it just doesn't look like that, a place that you can skate in. It looks sterile.
That does feel like that's just polished, though. Like they can add that in.
Hopefully, they can
back end or not the back end, but
so at least put some wax on some ledges. It looks like some people make it because the whole emphasis or the whole point is to emphasize on areas to hang out at.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm excited for.
The way I always saw skate was it was supposed to get you like inspired to go do the things that you're doing in this game.
Yeah.
Because you can do it anywhere.
But it's
that
just
kind of the point.
Make it look lived in. The world design needs a lot of work, in my opinion.
But if I'm hitting a nasty backside 50-50 on a 12 stair, does that sound real?
Backside 50, backside 5-0.
Backside 50-50 on a nasty 12 stair grind, dude. I mean, I won't care where it's at, you know? Thrasher, dude.
Thrasher.
All right,
man.
We're going to talk about games we're playing really quick, and then we're going to wrap things up.
Yeah. We
have the game. We'll play the game. We're just going to be wearing different things.
Not me.
I will be. All right, what we're playing. Helldivers 2. I love this game. I absolutely adore Helldivers.
You're playing it on Xbox.
I'm playing it on Xbox. I'm burning through it.
Is it
absolutely adorable?
Really as bad as people are talking about in terms of graphical fidelity and how well it runs?
You will first notice it.
If you go from PS5.
It runs better. I mean, I've noticed it started to run better on my Xbox. Okay. So they've done some hot fixes and everything that I do think have improved the frame rate problems. The fidelity does still have some issues. But, oh my God, I love this game. It's cool. Just so much fun. There's not many things that get me into a loop like that, like Helldivers does, but it gets me looped.
Cool.
I love doing it. Love Helldivers.
Yeah, it's a great game. I played Metal Eden. Beat it.
Yeah.
Awesome game.
Shorter than I thought.
5 hours. It's like as long as a Call of Duty campaign, okay. I guess.
It was only, $35. $35.
It was great. Really, really good soundtrack. It does feel like a little bit of Doom. It opens up, turns into Metroid, then back to Doom.
Give me a rate. I want a...
You want a...
No.
30-second review?
No, I want 1 out of 24.
1 out of 24?
Give me it.
Come on, stop.
Come on. Give me 1 out of 24.
It's a 19.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
17 to 19
I like
range.
Doing that because who cares?
In terms of percentages, I guess. It's a really fun game. I played it, beat it, went back, played it on hard immediately. Mm-hmm. Didn't like it on hard.
Really?
There's no new game plus. A big miss.
They're going to add that in later. Guaranteed.
Because there's a lot of stuff you can upgrade. There is clearly a path that is better than others.
That's what every studio does now. They put the game out and then they do new game plus later. Clair Obscur did that. I mean,
I was watching some people play this game and they were putting their points into their characters and I was like, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. You have to put your very first point into your recharge of the core grabbing mechanic. Because it's an essential mechanic and it takes 30 seconds to recharge when you need that thing to take 15 seconds, which is you'll cut it in half of the first point. And if you don't put anything towards that little perk, and it's lost in a big sea of perks, then you're in a severe disadvantage.
You're explaining how an engine works to me because I got no idea what you're talking about right now.
It's just imagine playing a game where you like Borderlands and you don't put a perk towards a character and that perk should have been essential. It should have been that way.
It's 19 out of 24, though, right? Is what you said?
The 17 to 19.
17 out of 24. All
right. 18.
Break that fraction down, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he thinks.
It's a good game to play again.
I'll go back and play it again.
It's fun. Music is fantastic.
See, that you're selling me on that because music's great.
If you like RoboQuest,
I'm in.
You're going to love this game.
It's not a roguelite, but you're telling by the music.
But it's linear, but it's the same pacing.
Gotcha. Okay. I like that. All right.
Yeah. And then I'm playing Silksong. Should mention that.
Yeah. Huge release.
Big.
Massive.
This game is really good.
It crashed Steam when it came out.
That's
it
crazy.
Crashed Steam.
It was like 600 concurrent plays.
It's huge.
Even the pirates and the pirate community.
Yeah.
Shout out to those guys.
Please That's crazy to do please on a podcast us. That we're driving.
Please don't hurt us again for the third time.
Please sponsor us.
they're encouraging everybody to buy this game.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, shout out the pirates. All right. We respect that.
And it's really cool that they're doing that.
Yeah.
But it's the game is really good. It has, I think the first game had a better difficulty ramp up. This one is hard in the beginning.
Yeah. So that's what I've heard. I've heard it's hard. Like this one's
When the first few bosses in the first game, like they're not that hard. Mm-hmm. The first few bosses of this game are very hard.
They hit you with the Dark Souls 3 thing, Elden Ring thing, but you can't go past the Tree Sentinel. You have to fight it.
You actually can get to areas that the boss is way too hard. So you go back and you get a little bit of an upgrade. You do some Metroidvania exploring. It's just, I love that this game's everything is hand.
Yeah.
Not hand drawn, but everything is handcrafted. Every frame, you're like, good luck finding the same thing twice.
You see the way it looks and you're like, oh, that's why it took 7 years.
Yeah, it's all really well done.
Yeah. Shout out to, I can't remember who developed it, but those guys, awesome.
The story, I don't like this story that much.
Whoa, dude.
There's not much of a story.
Ladies and gentlemen, put him in prison.
It's too dark. It's too soulsy, vague. Just write something.
Team Cherry. That's your names.
Yeah.
Shout out Team Cherry. Goated.
Great game. One of the best indie games I've played all year. I mean, Metal Eden is an indie game, and I like it better than Silksong.
Here's what I respect about Team Cherry. Really quickly. People were clamoring for, where's Silksong? Where's Silksong? I haven't even heard anything. And they're just like, you'll get it when we're done.
And they did. And guess what? They released it for $20.
And it's amazing, according to everybody.
And everybody's, all these people, a lot of gaming insiders, you would say, are upset about it.
For what?
for being cheap and just kind of cannibalizing everything else. I mean, it doesn't matter. Who cares? It's their game.
Yeah, they can release it at whatever price point they want. Guess
what? Make a game as good and sell it for 15.
Or sell it for free. Guess what? They're already doing that. And or make a worse game and have it be free.
Yeah, do that.
They're already doing that.
All right.
Is that it?
Yep.
That all you got?
And then we're going to do the game.
Oh, game time. Guess it's game. Thanks for tuning in, by the way.
All right.
See you guys.
Peace.